The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorantos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in America. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio, and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is 308 Ghost Train. They're an original rock act from Cortez, Florida, with a sound based on the best of rock's past and an uplifting and inspiring message for the people of today. They call it message-oriented rock with a classic vibe. 308 Ghost Train makes music for music fans of all ages who've become disenfranchised with the current trends and long for music with more alignment to the mainstream rock genre, music with more substance and memorable style. Their first EP, Born in the Wild, started releasing singles on May 24th, 2019, featuring five songs. The new EP, Train of Thought, will be releasing singles starting with Bleed Over Me on June 3rd, 2020. The band members for 308 Ghost Train are Anthony Train Caruso vocals, Dave Taylor bass, Anthony Cucurillo lead guitar, and Nate Kinter drums.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, my friend. Kind of love your story. It seems like you guys are going a little bit viral, wouldn't you say, recently?
Well, I mean, there may be, I don't know. I got to try to find a different word because that's even kind of understated, because it's been more like a miraculous endeavor, to tell you the truth. In the last 60 days, we have garnered almost 24 million plays.
Wow.
Between SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Deezer, Tidal, you name it. You add them all together, it's like almost 24 million plays. And that's just, I don't know. I mean, I know we all wish for that type of successful validation of our artistry and things like that, but it's not really even comprehensible.
Yeah.
I mean, 24 million is not even comprehensible. I mean, I think we may all know 300-400 people in our lives, you know, so.
That's true.
When you start getting into numbers like that, you start getting into areas of divine intervention and spiritual activity that we can't explain. I don't know. It's also a combination, brother. It's also, I think, a combination of, the COVID-19 experience has put more people in front of the computer because they've had to put their lives at a standstill. So it's given some of us an opportunity to touch lives in ways that we never realized we would or could. So it's been a great thing. Although the COVID thing has been disastrous, it's been also been a gateway for a lot of artists.
Yeah. Is your new stuff trending, your older stuff, or a combination?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, it's all because of a little song called Bleed Over Me. And that's the one you're going to play today. That was released on June 3rd. And I guess it captivated audiences all over the world. And what happened was, you know, after it started to blow up, they came back around to listen to the other songs that were released a year ago. And all of a sudden, those songs started to skyrocket too. And now, I mean, all the songs are at least over 2 million plays. And Bleed Over Me's like got about 6 million some plays. And 21 Guns and a Million Tears is our second most popular song. And that's got about 5 million plays. So two songs have almost half the plays. But all the songs are in the millions now. And if you want to know how miraculous this is, I think back last year, I think we garnered about, if we were lucky, we on SoundCloud, if we were lucky, we garnered about, I don't know, a few hundred hits, plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that tells you anything, I mean, that's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow. That's impressive. What's the history of the band? How long has it been together?
Well, the band's only been together for since April of 2018 or 2019. It hasn't been that long. We've only been together about a year and a half. And, you know, I mean, we all are musicians, great, you know, musicians in our own rights and have played with other people. But this particular project started, you know, back in April of 2019, I believe it was. I get my years mixed up, brother. I don't know why. But it's kind of, it's been a very organic experience growth-wise. This act and this project has had very, it's had promotion, but it's had very little compared to what some get. And in building, I think that this band has stood upon its principles of message and sound. We're bringing back a sound. Someone mentioned the other day that we were, you know, kind of, I mean, I'm humbled and honored, but I think people take it too far sometimes, bro. I mean, people are actually, you know, saying we're like the second coming of rock and things like that. And it's like, really, you know, we're just like doing what we believe, you know, that we believe that we're all about. It's not so much what we do. It's who we are. A lot of it's who I am as a songwriter. I have a pretty miraculous story, and, you know, I get a lot of the songs in my sleep. You know, I guess we'll go into why it's called 308 Ghost Train in a minute, but.
I was going to ask you that.
That will kind of clarify that, but just to finish up this point here is that, we were kind of stuck in a vortex, but we believed there was a number of disenfranchised people out there that were being spoon-fed pop and other genres and being called rock. And we knew that wasn't true to the genre. So we just decided just to be who we were and let God sort it out, so to speak. And it looks like he is sorting it out. I have to give credit to somebody who had the instinct to sign a young group of guys called Greta Van Fleet from Frankenmuth, Michigan, and they sound like Led Zeppelin. I mean, they sound a lot like Led Zeppelin. So I think that opened up the door for the 70s and some of the old classic rock sound to come back. Now, we sound a lot, they say, like the mix of the 70s and the 80s. I don't know. I mean, I think that I have such vast influences that, I mean, I don't know how you can pin the musical library down to one specific decade period, because I just, it's in its totality, I'm very well versed in music from the 40s to the modern day. So I just listen to everything, you know. And so I don't know, but they kind of say that's how we came up with the we're message oriented rock with a classic vibe.
Yeah, tell us about the name, and then I'm going to ask you a little bit about rock, because that's my favorite genre, and I agree with you. I think it gets dissed, and I think there's a lot of rockers out there that want some rock music, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let me answer the first question, because that's always the one people really want to know about. I mean, because it's such a unique name. And when you find out about it, the uniqueness of the name also has a great meaning and purpose. The 308 comes from John 308, where the wind blows where it pleases. No one knows where it comes and goes, but it's in everyone born of the Spirit. And I believe, you know, since I write a lot of the songs in my sleep, I believe the ghost, which is like, you know, the ghost is like my musical director, because I'll be sleeping and I'll have a dream, you know, and one of the verses or some of the chorus will come to me, and I'll wake up and I'll say, oh my God, and I'll either record it real quick or I'll run to my studio and I'll start, you know, working on it. That happens with a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs are combination of divine and human together. So since the Ghost is my musical director, and everybody calls me Train, henceforth you have the 308 Ghost Train. I'm kind of like the vehicle, the messenger that the Ghost is driving, and the wind blows where it pleases.
Sure. Cool. I was going to ask you about your songwriting process, but you kind of answered it. Is there a specific way you do it all the time, or are you flexible? Sometimes music first, sometimes melody, sometimes lyric. Does it vary?
Lots of times, most of the time, the melodies and some of the words or the hook comes to me in my head. I mean, I dream a lot of the songs. I mean, I've had dreams where, you know, I've had situations that may lead to dreams that lead to the songs. You know, in the song Worn, which is a song for everybody who's, you know, been on the edge of giving up, where I was a little more than a year and a half ago. I had a heavy, heavy heart, and that heavy heart was, you know, leading me to places where I didn't want to be, very dark places. And I was, actually getting ready to give up. And one night I went to bed and I dreamed, and about 5:30 in the morning, I guess I was having a dream about singing, you know, I'm worn, I'm holding on, you know, and a couple of the different lines in the song. And I woke right up and I said, oh my God. And I ran to the studio, and about 15 minutes I wrote that song, and I realized somebody not of this earth was watching over me, and that person wanted me to know that I had a purpose, and that this was what I was supposed to do, and I needed to experience some of the pains of the messages that I give to people so that they could connect, you know, with the message. And I just accepted my role as a messenger. You know, that day I accepted it, and I wrote Worn, and all of a sudden I started opening up, and, you know, next day, you know, I'm writing, you know, I'll Break Your Heart, 21 Guns and a Million Tears. Before you know it, I mean, it's just like a whole EP's done. And then a second EP was recorded. Some of it didn't get released. The songs just kept flowing. And then came the almighty song Bleed Over Me. And that one was written fully awake. So it was a whole different process to Bleed Over Me, if you want me to tell you about it.
Yeah, tell us about it, because we're going to listen to it in a few minutes, and I definitely want to know what happened.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of the songs prior to Bleed Over Me were written looking for love, if you can understand that from the perspective of a songwriter, which you are. So you can grab that perspective. You know, you're searching. Bleed Over Me was the first song I had ever written that was for love. I had found it. And so then it changed the whole process. And we went from, you know, sleeping dreams, you know, kind of a direct phone line to God, I would call it, or the Ghost. And, you know, to writing something completely awake, bro, which was amazing. What had happened was I had hired a new photographer last year, back in June. And, you know, we worked together. In the beginning, it was just somebody who worked for me, and which I have a whole team of people that, you know, do things for me, publicist, manager, this, that, and the other thing. And Amanda's her name. And so she got to be working with me every day. And sooner or later, we both found out that we were both in horrible relationships. I mean, horrible. We're both getting out of horrible relationships. And I guess we got to talking and things started to click, she had to have a surgery and to remove a blockage in her nasal cavity. And I was on a set one day doing videos with her crew, and she was in having surgery. And, man, I found myself, like, not being able to, like, concentrate, losing my lines. I mean, things were happening that were, like, you know, weird, like when you kind of, like, puppy love things, like when you fall in love for the first time.
Yeah.
What I kind of equated it to. And then it took a day or so for her to call me and tell me she was okay. And I was like, you know, really walking the floors. I found myself feeling like really kind of like, you know, bottled up inside. And when she called me, the phone rang, and I said, listen, don't say nothing. I said, I just got to tell you this. I said, I really miss you, and all I want to do is kiss you. And she said, okay, but I'm afraid I'm going to bleed on you. Because she had that nose surgery with the cotton up there. And I said, oh, my God, Amanda, you just gave me my next song. I said, I got to go. I'll call you back. And here I am, like, waiting to talk to her. All of a sudden, this song comes, and I go to the piano, and I start writing it. And I wanted to write Bleed Over Me meant, you know, I want all of you. I want to run through your veins like blood. I want to be enveloped in your whole being. I want to love you. So it was a very unique way, I thought, of saying I love you. And they always ask me, you know, why Bleed Over Me? And I said, it's all because a guy fell for a girl. So there are some different songwriting processes here that are happening, but they're very interesting and cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to your song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, brother, here we go. Let's take a listen. Check this out. Dude, that was a really, really rocking song.
Yeah, it's highly personal and emotional to me. I mean, it's a it's cut out of my soul and my heart. I mean, you listen to that song and you can say you've been a little bit inside my heart and soul.
Yeah, and I think you could definitely tell too. I think that's why it's basically streaming like crazy. I think people can relate to it too.
You know, so I was going to touch on that with you to try to answer some of the phenomena that's going on. Is that I believe that in my quest to write, from the spiritual perspective that starting the songs or what's going on in my life, I think I'm finding out that there are groups of people that relate to all these subject matters that are in these songs. There are people that are worn out and are trying to hold on. There are people that have broken hearts that need them unbroken. There are people that are just want to have fun and are born in a while. There are people fighting cancer and they want to tell cancer to get out of their home, which is their body. And what's happening, brother, is all these people are from different groups. But when all these groups come together under the umbrella of the 308 Ghost Train, they become one and it becomes a great fan base. So they touch different sections, but then the sections come together and create the total of the sum of the parts. So I think that's what's miraculous even more, is that not all these people are generally like Warren lovers, aren't generally 21 Guns lovers, and vice versa, all the way around the horn. But when you all get them together, say, oh man, these guys are great. So they'll have a favorite, but then they're okay with all the other stuff, and it just solidifies and validates the artistry, and it creates the fan base that it's created, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you guys like to do in your spare time?
Well, right now, I guess I've been doing a lot of writing. We're actually, every Wednesday, we come together to work on the new recordings. We're going back in the studio next month, and we're going to pop out another EP. We're going to pop out the rest of the EP that goes with Bleed Over Me. And those four songs are coming out. And they'll be recorded in September. So that's what I've been spending a lot of my time on. Plus, I have a little space in Palmetto, Florida. I own the independent record label that's attached to Universal that distributes 308 Ghost Train. So I run this, as a label, and I also own the publishing company that owns the songs. So I have a lot of work to do there. And I also take in other music and I pitch it, and I have a little space here that I use for rehearsals, and it's kind of like a record label slash man cave, for my friends and their girlfriends, and I have a bunch of friends, so they like to come out and hang out with the band, and it's all cool, we're just hanging out, you have a few beers, they listen to the music, I have like games in here, it's pretty cool, it's cool. I got a little bar in here, I have a bar with a fridge, and I stock it with beer, and I got little video games and slot machines and stuff they can play and have fun. And I have like big people's games, like outdoor yard games and stuff we play inside, like cornhole, and we do all kinds of fun things. But that's what I've been doing in my spare time right now. I mean,
yeah.
And I have about 50 or 60, 50 really cool acquaintances, and some of them brothers, and to the point where they come over and hang out all the time. That's what I've been doing. The rest of the guys have been kind of laying back. Nate's been kind of working on little projects. He likes to do woodworking, so he's been doing that in his garage and kind of staying low key. And Anthony, the guitar player, he's our little Howie Mandel. He's like the germaphobe of the century, and he won't. I mean, he comes to practice and he's got the mask on with the little ventilator, and I mean, I love him, but I mean, he's just our Howie Mandel, man. He's got some immune system, conditions that he's rightfully so to protect himself, but it's just we kind of make fun of him for it, and Dave just he's just kind of like. I don't know. He's just hanging out, playing and trying to learn the songs and just trying to better things. And so we're basically doing our own thing, and we come together every week here. And so we get to see each other every week, which is cool, and hang out for about 3-4 hours. And, we shot the rest of the video for Bleed Over Me. We finished most of it last night. I think we have one more scene to do, and that'll be coming out in a couple weeks to help promote the song. I don't know if it needs any more promotion, but it'll certainly be a visual to the audio.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what's been going on with us. We're ready to tour. 2021 is supposed to be a big year for us. We've already been asked to, go to Europe. We're being asked to go pretty much all over the country. I'm hoping it's in an opening role, supporting role. We're okay with that. We've been asked to go to Sturgis next year. We're on the slate for a lot of things if they open back up.
So yeah, that's the whole key, right? If they open back up.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think everything's going to open back up. I think you're going to see a lot of things not open back up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we're a couple years out from things ever being back to the way they were before, and there may be a new normal that may not recognize it. Other than, people wearing masks and, reduced capacities and venues just can't operate under those conditions.
Yeah.
They can't make any money. So
I think you're right. It's going to be tough. And I think some things will never reopen, sadly.
Oh, there's things that are never going to reopen. They're closed right now and they're never coming back,
Yeah.
I asked somebody the other day. I said, man, should I be feeling bad that the global pandemic actually helped me out instead of hurt me? And they said, oh, hell no. Why would you feel bad? I said, I don't know. Should I feel bad that, something so disastrous has been so wonderful for us? And, I guess I've come to terms that I can't be. I just, what I've learned is destiny is destiny. It don't matter whether the sky's falling down or there's a global pandemic. If you're going to do something or be something, you're going to be it.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think also, it's the confluence of events. It's this time in history, again, you're not to blame for the pandemic. You didn't cause it. And if your music and your song is giving some comfort to people, I think that's what music is for.
Yeah, music is the universal healer. It's the universal medicine. A couple things, breaking bread together, as I call it, having meals together, and music seem to bring people together in good ways. The way it needs to be. And you're right. If what we're doing and if the songs that are out there are touching people in such a way that they're helping them, then I am humbled and honored to be that messenger.
Yeah. Tell us the strangest compliment you've ever gotten for your lyrics.
It's easy to see why some have crowned him the Messiah of the new rock world. Last year, somebody said that in a magazine article.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little too much. So I had to go make a video downplaying that, because I didn't want the Manson family on my porch trying to get that written, and I didn't want the people with pitchforks and torches trying to burn me down. So I had to get out from underneath that. But there was a young lady who wrote a story about us, and I believe there was another guy who posted it in a Jamsphere or something. And at the end of the first or second paragraph, it was said that, it was easy to see why some have crowned him the Messiah of the new rock world. And I thought, what the hell? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I guess when I asked for a clarification, I got, rock is in such disarray. It almost needs another savior.
Yeah.
Rock needs saving. And the rock that we do is the rock that people used to cling on to and hold on to and grab and embrace. And that's when I found out how many disenfranchised people were out there. We talked a little bit ago about, there's a disenfranchised segment of this market that is really, really sick and tired of being spoon-fed pop and other stuff it being labeled or called rock. Whenever you go to the rock charts and you see Panic at the Disco at number one, there's a serious disconnect in the music. There's a serious disconnect in the music world, because that is not rock. That is pop.
Yeah.
Now, you call it what it wants, and it's a great story, great song, and I love the guy. He's a great artist, but man, he's being mislabeled, and you can't do that to people. People see right through it. You need to stay in your lane. And that's not a rock lane. So I use that as an example all the time, because I actually saw that with my own eyes on Billboard one day, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" And that may have sparked some of the thoughtful talk that I want to speak about to people, because record companies for years have spoon-fed and shoved things down our throat and used the psychology of muscle memory to get us to accept things that we may not really, we fight with inside of our bodies. Like, why am I accepting that? You know, it's because of the muscle memory thing. You know, listen to something 28 times, they shove it and ram it down your throat. You listen to the same songs hour after hour on terrestrial radio or XM Sirius. You know, I mean, my God, I mean, that's why the revolution is happening. The music revolution is happening because of that. People are just sick and tired of it, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, one of the questions I'd like to ask all the guests on the show are about scams, and you're in a unique position because you do have some publishing and a label, but tell us about something that people shouldn't fall for. Any red flags or any scams that you've fallen for you want to warn us about so we can protect each other?
Yeah, there's a lot of these songwriter groups out there, and there's a lot of publishing companies and stuff, especially in, you know, certain areas of the country that consider themselves music capitals. We're going to stay very, very neutral here because I'm not going to lay anybody out. And they're going to claim that they can take your songs and pitch them to people and, you know, for a monthly cost. Okay, listen, you know, if you want to try that, you know, so be it. I'm not saying that you won't get a cut. It's highly unlikely. It has happened, but it is highly, highly unlikely. You know, they've got these songwriters organizations that claim they help you as a songwriter, and then they have these contests and they're going to pitch your song and this and that and other thing. And then all I ever see is nothing ever happens to the song. I mean, I've seen it hundreds of times. I used to be a writer on Music Row. I have cut some from other artists. Most recently, I have a cut called We Are Us by Savannah Ryder. She's an upcoming country girl. And I have a cut on by Lake and Lindale called There's a Weight that I was a co-writer on. So I know what it's like to have commercially released cuts, and they did not come from those types of situations. They came from writing with people and getting into the trenches and building the rapports. But paying people, you know, $50 to review your song and stuff like that, stay away from that. Please stay away from it. It's designed to do nothing but give you false hope. Okay. And then later on down the line, you're going to be disgruntled. So that would be the one scam I tell you to stay away from. Songwriters organizations that ask you for money to pitch songs to people. Okay.
Yeah.
You can generally bet you're throwing your money away.
Yeah. I hear you, brother. Tell you what, give us your information. Where can people buy your music, stream it, buy it, get in touch with you guys?
Well, you know, I always believe in, you know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, we'd like to introduce ourselves to you. So I'm not necessarily interested in, people don't have to buy us unless they want us, because I'd like to let you test drive the 308 Ghost Train. So you can go to soundcloud.com, I think, and put in 308 Ghost Train. You can listen to all the songs for free. And if you would like to buy a song and support the group and download it, you can always go to iTunes or Apple Music and purchase those. That's the best place to purchase them. You can listen to them on Spotify if you have an account. But see, I'm not really too much on these platforms that charge you money to listen to songs. I don't think that it's right. I mean, I think that you should be able to listen to a song for free and then decide whether you want to buy it. Now, back in the day, I mean, before I was around, but back in the day, they used to listen to songs on the radios. They still sold millions of records. So listening to songs for free does not, you know, negate a sale for an artist. I mean, radio is still, and streaming is still the most powerful way to introduce someone, the artist, to the world.
Yeah.
People really want to save it to their library or download it and have it in their library. Then, man, they'll purchase it to support you because they love the music. So you can go to soundcloud.com. After that, you can go to Apple Music and or iTunes to buy it. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Tidal, Deezer, you name it. It's on every platform. All you got to do is Google 308 Ghost Train. I think it all comes up. A lot of things come up. You can see a couple of the videos on YouTube for free. And I always encourage people to, you know, to listen to the music and look at the videos. So you can check us out on Instagram at 308 Ghost Train Band. You can go to Facebook and like us at 308 Ghost Train. You can go to Twitter and like us at 308 Ghost Train. It's pretty much all 308 Ghost Train, brother.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, man. It was awesome.
Oh, man. I love it that you brought me into the Chicago area, right?
Yeah. Yep. Chi-town.
I'll tell you, last year in the Midwest, Chicago was a big city for us in the independent charting radio networks. We had two number one songs go to number one there, 21 Guns and a Million Tears and I'll Unbreak Your Heart in that whole like Midwest region. And Chicago was the hub center of that. And I think if you go on Spotify, Chicago still represents us. I mean, they're like number five or number six on our cities. So we love the people of Chi-Town and can't wait to get to the Windy City and do some shows.
Awesome, man. All right. I want to thank everyone out there, all the fans for listening. If anybody wishes to be on the Songwriter Show, please obviously send out a message. I hope everyone's unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with a rock song of mine called A Syringe of Adrenaline. This is a rock song about a mistress whose every kiss is a curse of light. Once bitten, you're out of control. And I gotta be honest, it's my favorite song of the CD this year. There's just something about a good rock song that makes me feel happy. I hope you enjoy it. I love you all. Thank you.
She comes in darkness on broad daylight. Doesn't really matter, cause it never feels right. Each time a new mask, I let her back in. Like a trusted old friend, and I'm stuck in passing. Once bitten out of control, infected my immortal soul. Drowning in a black hole, how low can I go? The clock moves so slowly, mind heavy and insane. As we play this deadly game, it hits me, I am the prey. Every kiss a curse of light. Don't care cause I just need a hit. I just really need a jump start. So I'll take a syringe of adrenaline. What's left of me, with each siren I ignore, is a shell full of scars, lonely and wanting more. All I can do is pretend I'm not worried. I try hard to act so cool, though I'm not worthy. Once bitten out of control, infected my slowly, mind heavy and insane. As we play this deadly game, it hits me, I am the prey. Every kiss a curse of light. Don't care cause I just need a hit. I just really need a jump start. So I'll take a syringe of adrenaline. Wait until it's too late. Every Ferris wheel stops turning. Every love has an expiration date. Wreckage will take years to fix. Night's all but over. I crave the rush again. I'm barely sober. Maybe find myself some time in the same damn place. Tonight, play the same damn game. The clock moves so slowly, mind heavy and insane. As we play this deadly game, it hits me, I am the prey. Every kiss a curse of light. No kicks, I just need a hit. I just really need a jump start. So take a syringe. Adrenaline, straight to my heart.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.